It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
The commercial-free Global Alert News Hour starts now. This is Dane Wigginton with GeoengineeringWatch.org. December 7th, the 78th anniversary of the Pearl Harbor attack, the event that galvanized the U.S. population into total obedience and support for the military-industrial complex and the plunge into all-out war. What if the vast majority of Americans never bothered to investigate about the Pearl Harbor attack? This, President Roosevelt, FDR, the power structure and the top brass of the U.S. military-industrial complex knew this attack was coming but did exactly nothing to stop it or even to prepare for it. And there's even more to the story. The U.S. government used economic warfare and blockades to force Japan to attack in the first place. Why? Because war is what the military-industrial complex is all about. War is very effective also for controlling populations. Consider this quote. Those who manipulate the unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes are formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. And almost every act of our lives, whether in the sphere of politics or business, or in our social conduct or our ethical thinking, we are dominated by the relatively small number of persons who understand the mental processes and social patterns of the masses. It is they who pull the wires that control the public mind. That's from Edward Bernays, pioneer of corporate PR and propaganda. How fitting that testimony is to describe our modern society. Consider this recent headline report along the same theme of war. The so-called war on terror has killed over 801,000 people and cost $6.4 trillion. Findings of new analysis. The numbers continue to accelerate, the report states, not only because many wars continue to be waged, but also because wars don't end when soldiers come home. And for those who are still trying to convince themselves that these wars are about the massive U.S. military spreading freedom and democracy in other countries, that could not be further from the truth. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. These wars are about resources, about power, and about control. That's what they're about. And how many people are starving to death in countries like Yemen right now, and so many other countries that have been bombed into ashes and rubble with U.S. manufactured weapons, bombed by U.S. allies like Saudi Arabia? Many ask, who exactly is it that controls the world? It is those who control the central bankers. The central bankers that print money, that funds militaries, that do the bidding of those in power. Mercenary military forces like the massive U.S. military. Consider this a profoundly moving testimony from U.S. war veteran Mike Preissner, who explains exactly what the military is all about. Listen carefully.
To say to all those serving in the Army and the Marines and the Air Force and the Navy that you have the absolute right to refuse to take part in these criminal wars, and that's a right that all of you should exercise. You have no reason to go put your life on the line and kill and die for profit. We've been to Iraq, we've been to Afghanistan, and we know what these wars are really about. And we joined the military for many reasons, because we need a college education, because we need a job, because we need health care. And then we join the military, and they tell us that our enemies are poor people in caves in Afghanistan, or poor people in the deserts of Iraq. We've been to those countries, and we know that our enemies are not other poor people abroad, our Asian people that laid us off from our jobs, that denied us health care, that make it impossible to get an education. Our enemies are not in the poorest countries on the planet, but right here in the richest one. The occupations of Iraq and Afghanistan alone are costing over $700 million every single day. This is a crime. Every single day, while so many of us are hurting, while I think all of us here and the vast majority of people in this country would agree that we can spend $700 million a day better than bombing people that we have no reason to bomb. We're not going to end the war. And they're not going to do it because it's not our government. It's their government. It's the government of the rich, taxes. It's their government, and the only language that they understand is shutting down business as usual, and that's what we're doing here today, and we're going to continue to do until these wars are over. It's crystal clear now that these wars are going to continue and expand and go into other countries. That is the trend. That is when we know that there is perpetual war, and it's only going to stop if the people stand up and stop it.
Profound testimony from U.S. war veteran Mike Preissner. It's only going to stop. The insanity is only going to stop if the people stand up and stop it. And so far, that hasn't happened. We have a society that's all too willing to go along with the dictates of the power structure so long as it preserves their personal paradigm. That must change, or we have no chance. What was the new Pearl Harbor for the military-industrial complex? The 9/11 terrorist attacks. But who were the real terrorists? Was it really the Saudi Arabians, as we've officially been told? U.S. ally, Saudi Arabia? Saudi Arabia that is buying hundreds of billions in U.S. weapons of mass destruction that are being used to slaughter innocent civilians in countries like Yemen? What is the dark truth the vast majority of Americans still refuse to face about 9/11? Even with over 3,000 of the world's top architects and engineers with peer-reviewed science study to prove that World Trade Center buildings were brought down with controlled demolitions, still denial from the U.S. population. I never ask anyone to believe anything I state on this broadcast, anything I report. What I do ask, rather, is to summon the courage to investigate. Honest investigation. One that goes beyond a quick glance at official sources that deny the facts in exchange for the, quote, conspiracy theory, knee-jerk, programmed, mindless response. Don't go there. So, in summary, like the Pearl Harbor event during World War II that galvanized the U.S. population into blind support and obedience to the military-industrial complex, the events of 9/11 had exactly the same effect on U.S. populations. Who benefited? The military-industrial complex, the central bankers, and those who control both. What are most Americans busy with during the holidays as the military-industrial complex continues to wage war, and as the climate and biosphere implode around us all, with the climate engineering assault further fueling that process? The population is busy with mass consumption, as is the theme of the season. More on the climate engineering, weather, whiplash, temperature, roller coaster scenarios later in this broadcast. First, more on the mindset of the populations and what may be affecting it. An examination of the wider horizon, which is becoming dimmer by the day on many fronts. Let's stop to consider this five-year-old report, which corporate media and official sources seem to have forgotten or perhaps swept under the rug. Quote, American researchers discover stupidity virus. And yes, that's the actual headline from many mainstream sources on this report. Report states this, quote, American scientists have located a virus that attacks human DNA, which may cause those infected to be less intelligent, impairing brain activity, learning, and memory. Researchers at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine and the University of Nebraska have identified traces of an algal virus known as ATCV-1. The virus was detected in throat swabs drawn from healthy volunteers, which appeared to lessen their mental capacity. Of 92 healthy volunteers who were screened, the virus was found to be present in 43.5% of them. The researchers found that the presence of the virus was linked to lower attention spans and decreased spatial awareness and a statistically significant decrease in the performance on cognitive assessments of visual processing and visual motor speed. Why shouldn't we consider that this may be some form of biological warfare when we have over 400 labs in the U.S. military all over the world that are experimenting with such pathogens? Why wouldn't we at least consider that possibility? And why isn't such a story more widely known or published? And certainly it's not just our military experimenting with such pathogens. Other powers are doing as well. It's a free-for-all of insanity on planet Earth about the air we're breathing and its effect on our brains and bodies as a whole. This new report from neuroscience.news.com, quote, exposure to PM2.5 pollution, that's 2.5 micron pollution, linked to brain atrophy and memory decline. And by the way, in reports like this, they don't even mention, test for, analyze, or certainly discuss the fact that the smaller the particles are, the more damaging they are to us and the entire web of life. We know from climate engineering patents, and we know from our testing at geoengineeringwatch.org, that there are particles in the lower nanometer range, from 20 to 80 nanometers, exponentially smaller than these particles, that are saturating the environment everywhere, heavy metal and polymer particles that are going completely unreported. There will be more elaboration on this in the geoengineeringwatch.org documentary, The Dimming. But the bottom line is, these reports like this one from neuroscience.news.com are at least alluding to the fact that we are inhaling elements with every breath that are permanently damaging our bodies and our brains. Report states this: this is the first science study to show in statistical model that air pollution is associated with changes in people's brains, and that those changes were then connected with declines in memory and performance. Next, a reminder of this headline covered in a previous broadcast of Global Alert News. Quote, billions of air pollution particles found in hearts and brains. All of this is yet more confirmation that we are all quite literally getting dumber by the day, less cognitively functional. A slow and insidious neurological shutdown being further fueled by the toxic climate engineering, heavy metal and polymer nanoparticulate fallout, again, from climate engineering operations. And of course, the countless other forms of human contamination all over the planet are also a factor. But the massive elephant in the sky, the largest, most dire, untold story in the planet, is the climate engineering assault. The fact that we're all getting sicker and less cognitively functional is, of course, convenient for those in power who are all too aware that the planet can no longer support the weight of the human race. A sicker and dumber population is far easier to manipulate and control, and eventually to kill off. This is most especially important to those in power when it comes to the heavily armed U.S. population. And if making us all sicker and dumber by the day doesn't do the job, don't forget the over 2 billion rounds of 40 caliber hollow point ammunition that was purchased in 2012 by U.S. agencies like Homeland Security. That's about 7 bullets for every man, woman, and child in this country. Something to ponder. What other methods are being utilized to drastically degrade populations and their ability to function? Forced, highly toxic vaccinations, for a start. The most draconian form of forced vaccinations are occurring in California, getting worse rapidly. And then there's the radio frequency microwave bombardment that we face. On that note, consider this new report from Scientific American. And it seems the threats we collectively face are now becoming so dire and immediate that even a mainstream media source like Scientific American is showing some signs of conscience. Here's the headline, quote, 5G causes behavioral changes, from that report. We have no reason to believe 5G is safe, end of headline. Report continues, numerous recent scientific publications have shown that EMF, electromagnetic frequencies, affect living organisms at levels well below most international and national guidelines. Means these guidelines mean nothing. They are far over any quote-unquote safe level, and there is no safe level of this type of radiation. There's so many other factors that we're told there's safe levels for. That's a lie. That's simply to pacify populations. Report continues, effects include increased cancer risk, cellular stress, increase in harmful free radical genetic damages, structural and functional changes of the reproductive system, learning and memory deficits, neurological disorders, and negative impacts on general well-being in humans. Damage goes well beyond the human race, as there is growing evidence of harmful effects to both plant and animal life. Of course there is. Why wouldn't there be? The report continues, since 5G is a new technology, there is no research on health effects, so we are, quote, flying blind. We have considerable evidence about the harmful effects of 2G and 3G. Little is known of the effects of 4G exposure, a 10-year-old technology, because governments have been remiss in funding this research, and that is business as usual now. To gut research, gut any investigation, to cut any way for the public to find out what they're being exposed to. That's what our government's there for. That's what the so-called public protection agencies like EPA, that's what they're there for. Not to disclose threats to the public, but to systematically hide them. Final excerpt from this report. As a society, should we invest hundreds of billions of dollars in deploying 5G, a cellular technology that requires the installation of 800,000 or more new cell antenna sites in the U.S., close to where we live, work, and play? Does that question even need to be answered? That's like saying, should we shoot ourselves in the head? In fact, collectively speaking, the human race already has. There's no undoing the vast majority of damage that's been done to the planet in any time frame that matters. That realization will soon be impossible to deny as the great collapse unfolds. Industrialized militarized societies have created unimaginable opportunity for moralist opportunists, individuals that have long since banded together to fortify their power and their control in an endless and insane quest to control everything and everyone. Again, like a cancer whose only objective it is to expand until the host is dead. And that is the track we are on. How many are completely convinced? How many in populations are completely convinced that industrialized society is permanent? Such a notion could not be further from the truth. The reality we've all known is already in its death throes. It is collapsing, collapsing in lockstep with the climate and the biosphere. Where do we go from here? What can we still do? Can we make a difference? More on that and many other dire breaking frontline reports in a moment. First, to all the courageous individuals that are doing their best to stay informed and to sound the alarm, thank you more than I can say. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour, episode number 226, December 7th, 2019. News that covers the issues we must face if we're to have any chance of changing course. This commercial-free frontline news broadcast is brought to you by GeoengineWatch.org and paid for by GeoengineWatch.org. This news broadcast is sent throughout Northern California, 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM, Saturday mornings from 6 to 7 AM. Sunday mornings repeat broadcast. Also broadcast Wednesdays, following Wednesday on PRN East Coast, 2 PM Eastern Time. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineingwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. The latest geoengineingwatch.org awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineingwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. These materials can be exponentially more effective at waking those around you than verbally trying to convey this data. When you have photographic images, NASA satellite shots, for example, documents, all of this contained in our data, again, it's much more effective at waking people up as opposed to a verbal dissertation or pointing at the sky and ranting, which tends to shut people down. We need to learn to be efficient and effective in this battle. We are playing chess. We need to learn to play well. Another way to help us sound the alarm is to attend Jim Fair events. Jim Fair continues to be an extremely dedicated ally in the fight to expose and halt climate engineering. That's G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E. This week's Jim Fair event, Costa Mesa, California, started yesterday into tomorrow at the Orange County Fair and Event Center. If you're going to this event to pick up Geoengineering Watch informational materials, again, free at the Geoengineering Watch informational booth, which is at this event and all Jim Fair events, tell the Ticketmaster why you're there. You'll get in for free. Show your support for Jim Fair, for helping us in this all-important battle. Make your voice heard in this all-important battle, because we are all on this ship. We will sink or swim together. How's the weather? It's all over the board, all over the world. We have weather whiplash events happening and worsening in every imaginable location, from record heat to record cold, back to record heat, and everything in between. We have meteorologists that absolutely positively know what's going on, but they are lying. They are simply stating what they're told to state. They're reading scripts. Do they think that they will survive? I have that question. For all those in academia that are just towing the line to protect their paychecks and pensions, how much good will that do you on a dead planet? And that's exactly where we are headed. Do you want to take your last breath knowing that you hid in your cabin on the Titanic until the brutal end? Or did you come out on the deck and try to do something for the greater good while you had the chance? Please. And to those academicians that have, and there's only a few, I mean a handful, literally, that have stood and made some effort to make a difference, I salute you. But to the rest, I plead with you, band together, stand up, and help us expose the climate engineering assault, which is wreaking havoc on the planet. So how is the weather forecast? And here's some example, quote, predictions in Northern California that are very telling. Why? Because when our weather was less hampered 15 years ago, we would get forecasts that would show rain, not just 20% chance of rain, 10% chance of rain, and so on. Now, they're very ambiguous because they don't know what's going to happen from day to day, because the scripted weather can change from day to day depending on how much aircraft seating goes on, how much radio frequency it's exposed to, which is what manipulates these particulates in the atmosphere. So now we have forecasts like this, quote, couple showers possible, rather cloudy, rain possible, mostly cloudy, rain possible, rain and drizzle possible, couple showers possible, little afternoon rain, cloudy with afternoon rain possible, passing afternoon shower possible, so on and so forth. Nothing definitive. And we have so many days with featureless skies. If you live in a remote location, you can hear the aircraft flying fairly low over those skies. Again, when you seed too many particulates into atmospheric moisture, there's too many condensation nuclei, and that migrates the moisture to wherever the climate engineers want it. It keeps it from falling. Too many condensation nuclei keep the droplets from combining and falling as rain, so it migrates that rain. It reduces convection as well, so it affects wind in both directions. So, again, the climate system, totally derailed at this point. When you affect any part of the system, you affect the entire system. And we have climate engineering going on all over the globe. So, in fact, it is absolutely definitive and accurate to say that the entire climate system is at this point completely derailed. But don't worry if you live in Northern California. Here's a final statement from the forecasters, quote, the script readers. Just before Christmas, even at this early date in early December, they somehow know that there will be snow and rain in the morning. This is for Redding, California, with temperatures showing on the same forecast of 48 degrees. How does that happen? And how convenient just before Christmas? Chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. You can search that subject at geoengineeringwatch.org. The seeding of atmospheric moisture with endothermic reacting artificial nucleating elements, which create what should have been a rain event into a snow event or a frozen precipitation event. It can fall as freezing rain. It can fall as little hail pellets. But often it starts at far above freezing temperatures. Temperatures lower as this process goes on. This is part of the scenario that the paid disinformation agents, entities like the Weather Channel, talk about the warm side to the winter storm and the cold side to the winter storm, which is absolutely ludicrous for anyone who still has a functioning sense of reason. But this moisture is chemically nucleated, and as the process continues long enough, it begins to fall as in a frozen form of precipitation. Again, it can be ice storms as this first begins to take place. The material hits the ground before it sets up. It can start later as large cotton ball-looking flakes. The composition of the snow is very different. It contains, again, elements like synthetic urea and surfactants, heavy metals, polymers. Don't eat the snow, and I don't say that facetiously. Take the time to search the engineering winter section at geoengineeringwatch.org and learn more. Lots of data there, including videos of lab tests showing what happens when you put some of these artificial nucleating elements into a beaker of water. Lab tests, the actual videos of the lab test, beaker of water freezes instantly right in front of your face, shown on these lab tests. That's the power of the materials they have. And the power of the climate engineers to manipulate the weather certainly must have made them feel as if they were gods, especially the power structure that controls the climate engineers. Even refreezing much of the sea ice in polar regions, engineering winter weather, and we have NASA satellite images of sea surface ice nucleation going on. Very profound patterns, very recognizable. Again, search the engineering winter section at geoengineeringwatch.org. And we must always remember and consider this, though, however, all forms of human activity that affect the energy balance of the planet and the climate are a part of the problem. It's not just climate engineering. But climate engineering is completely disabling the planet's attempt to respond to the damage done. Climate engineering, the greatest single threat we face, but by no means the only threat. We have decimated this planet on countless fronts. Here's a few global headlines of the collapsing economy that must follow the collapsing biosphere. First headline, Russia boosting gold reserves at a time of impending U.S. dollar crisis. Another headline, U.S. dominance in global services now in doubt. Another headline, U.S. manufacturing contracts further, tempers economic growth hopes. Another headline, many firms have no contingency plans should U.S.-China trade war worsen. Another headline, pipeline crisis forces Canadian oil giants to cut thousands of jobs. Another headline, Halliburton slashes 800 Oklahoma jobs as shale slowdown bites. I've reported this at geoengineeringwatch.org on our broadcast for a number of years, that the shale boom was simply a card house. The shale fracking wells produced for a short time and then crash. It never had a future. It was total insanity that has permanently polluted groundwater all over the country. Total insanity now beginning to crash. Another headline. Italian bank UniCredit to cut 8,000 jobs. More headlines. Daimler plans to cut 10,000 jobs. Another headline. Husky Energy confirms 370 job cuts as it trims spending. Now, power structures, again, as things begin to implode, will become more and more desperate. Headlines on that front. Putin fears the U.S. and NATO are militarizing space, and Russia is right to worry, experts say. This is the insanity of the human race, that as the biosphere implodes, what do we see? An increase in militarization. Let's build weapons of mass destruction with what resources yet remain. No sanity in the human race, not collectively. Another headline, China and Russia forge deeper ties thanks to their common enemy, the United States. Another headline, Germans in favor of reducing reliance on U.S. No surprise. Most of the world has had enough now of the U.S. empire reigning roughshod all over the globe, taking resources from wherever it wants. And this is not to excuse other countries. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying other countries or other governments are benign. Not at all. If they had the same power the U.S. had, they would be doing exactly the same thing. But how does that excuse us? How does that make us right? Does might make us right? Absolutely not. Hasn't. Bottom line, let's go to more headlines of the criminally corrupt U.S. government, U.S. hierarchy, if you were, from bigleaguepolitics.com and other sources. This shocking new report that should actually come as no surprise. Jeffrey Epstein's longtime banker found dead from hanging, immediately ruled a suicide. They can kill whoever they want. They can call it whatever they want. And unfortunately, most of the U.S. population is so busy with their personal pursuits of pleasure, they don't even notice these atrocities going by. Corporate banker Thomas Bowers, who ran the U.S. Division of Private Wealth Management for Deutsche Bank, reportedly committed suicide last month at the age of 55, hanging himself with a rope in his California residence. However, his extensive ties to deceased sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein, who also died from a mysterious suicide, has caused speculation about what the real cause of Bowers' death may have been. You think? Yeah, I think so. Another headline of concern for the U.S. population, should be of concern, from Mother Jones Journal and other sources. Quote, foreign investors are snapping up U.S. farms. From that report, American farmland is becoming popular with overseas investors, and that's making people nervous. Food production. Food production is crashing all over the globe, and it doesn't matter if you don't believe that. It's happening, and it's going to show up on store shelves soon. It's already showing up in increased prices, but our government is doing everything they can to keep U.S. store shelves stocked, to pacify U.S. populations until the last possible moment. I've been over this again and again. We are importing tens of billions of dollars worth of food from countries that are starving to death to keep our store shelves stocked, to keep the U.S. population, again, pacified. Another headline from the New Indian Express, more on the military-industrial complex and the insanity that I'm describing. Again, the utilization of what's left of Earth's resources to make more weapons of mass destruction. So from the New Indian Express, we have this. Indian government to cut down 64,000 trees to accommodate Defense Expo. Stop and consider that insanity. Just to accommodate a massive sale of weapons of mass destruction to demonstrate these weapons, they cut down 64,000 trees to make room for this large exhibit, a giant swap meet of mass destruction weapons. The insanity of the human race is truly incomprehensible if one tries to stand back far enough to grasp the wider horizon. Governments of so many whose paychecks and pensions depend on them have, in so many cases, completely abandoned any sense of morality, honor, and courage. Question, when will any semblance of courage appear from the circles of so-called elected officials, of governmental agencies, of academia and journalism? Complete contempt for the web of life is still the rule, not the exception. On that note, this report, which may sound like a headline from August of this year, but that's not the case. This is new. Quote, Trump administration approves lethal cyanide bomb despite bans in several states. From that report, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has backtracked on its ban of cyanide-based bombs. The reversal allows the use of sodium cyanide bombs following the agency's ban on the chemical a week after it initially introduced it in August. So this is new again, that this kind of indiscriminate killing, and it's happening in other countries as well. The 1080 poison in New Zealand, where they're literally helicopter dropping laced carrots and other vegetables with poison all over the landscape, killing everything. Total insanity happening here as well. And I've shared in the past what I've seen of what these poisons do. Total insanity. Legalizing cyanide bombs all over the landscape. And on the subject of bombs, this new headline report from multiple sources. Trump may send another 14,000 troops to Middle East to deter Iranian aggression. And let's just say the president in all these cases, because whoever the occupant of the White House, whether it's President Trump, Obama, Bush, Clinton, or many before them, they are all simply puppets in the power structure play, whose part it is to try to polarize the population as much as possible. And now more than ever, it's working. But I'm asking people who have already chosen their political party as if it's some sort of religion that they owe their blind obedience to, please look at the facts from all sides of the fence. And there's plenty of denial on all sides of the fence. And the whole political theater, the impeachment drama that's played out by both sides of the fence with the most polarizing characters possible featured on all the mainstream news to maximize the division in the population. That's all theater. All of it's theater, while the planet completely implodes around us. And anybody who thinks that there's any effort to tone down the wars that this country is waging all over the world, that couldn't be further from the truth. It's simply maneuvering to try to procure the last remaining resources on the planet. What about this headline from last year? Quote, Trump Secretary of State John Bolton promises regime change in Iran. And that's what these troops are that are being sent to Saudi Arabia. This has been very visible for anybody who is paying attention. Iran was a primary target. And what about this headline from earlier this year? Pompeo and Netanyahu discuss how to counter, quote, Iranian aggression. Yes, the aggressive Iranians that have not actually invaded another country for over 200 years. And then there is the U.S. government to consider with its massive and growing mercenary army, which has invaded, occupied, and or toppled nearly 100 governments in as many years, including laying waste to the Middle East since 2011, the World Trade Center false flag attacks, which were, in essence, as I stated earlier in this broadcast, the new Pearl Harbor event, orchestrated by those in power for the purpose of galvanizing the U.S. population into blind, unquestioning support of all our U.S. military aggression abroad, as the U.S. empire, again, desperately attempts to acquire the resources it needs to sustain itself. How many Americans are actually willing to face such unwanted truths? How many? Back to our waning cognitive abilities, remember and consider this. The hallmark of a healthy mind is an unyielding willingness to face the whole truth, no matter how dire. Given the sea of lies we find ourselves swimming in, and given the fact that the vast majority of the population still seems all too willing to not only accept, but to embrace the lies, what does that tell us about the mental health of so many? What part have the cognitive impairing factors that I mentioned at the start of this broadcast played in this equation? Question that remains to be answered. The hour is already late, the horizon grows more dim by the day, and still the human race, taken as a whole, continues its death march toward near-term planetary omnicide. What's, again, the single most destructive and deadly human activity, short of nuclear cataclysm, that still goes unmentioned, even by those that claim to care about the collapsing climate and rapidly dying web of life? That unmentioned element is the criminal climate engineering weather, biological warfare, assault. On that note, from Coast Media, LLC, and other sources, this new headline report, quote, World War Zero, John Kerry's climate coalition launches today. Who are the founding members of this coalition? Presidents Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter, Madeleine Albright, Susan Rice, and retired General Stanley McChrystal. Madeleine Albright, who, let's remember, stated on the record that she thought the sanctions against Iraq that killed a 500,000 children, 500,000 children, were worth it. That Madeleine Albright, now claiming to care about the environment. Meg Whitman, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Leonardo DiCaprio, and others. These people who claim to care about the environment. More bread and circus, and of course, complete omission of the climate engineering elephant in the sky, single most destructive human activity to date, biggest threat we face short of nuclear cataclysm, and absolutely no mention by any of these people. And we know some of them, for example, in the case of Leonardo DiCaprio, has been given geoengineeringwatch.org information and materials. Nothing from them. Many in that camp, in addition to the presidents whose team was also given geoengineeringwatch.org materials. Mentioned that many times in the past, January 2016, the Trump top campaign people given our materials, along with Carson's campaign people, at a meeting specifically to address this issue in the home of a U.S. Air Force Major General. Nothing. Only a ramp-up of these programs. Any notion that any occupant of the White House is anything other than a power structure puppet is a very naive notion. And this applies to both sides of the political equation, each thinking their candidate is somehow the white knight that's going to save the day. How completely ludicrous. Moving on to the same subject of climate coalitions. This report from the Japan Times, quote, Generation Greta, angry youths put heat on climate talks. Question. What's the biggest factor in the equation that's missing in this report? Of course, no mention of the ongoing climate engineering atrocities. It would seem that those who direct the youth climate groups will not allow any mention of the geoengineering solar radiation management reality. On the other side of the world, completely engineered weather whiplash scenarios continue to be radically ramped up, along with countless other locations around the world that are bearing the brunt of the climate engineering weather warfare assault. This recent report from Australia was published by theage.com.au. Snow predicted for the start of summer as temperatures sink well below average. This is the sort of sensationalized headline that I've tried to bring to light again and again that the climate engineers love to create because it casts doubt in the minds of citizens, even those in Australia that have been burning to the ground with extraordinary record heat year after year. But if it snowed somewhere at the start of summer, that must mean there's no global warming. There's no planetary meltdown, right? Wrong. And this is happening in the U.S. as well. As the temperature whiplash goes from one side of the country to the other and back, we go from record cold back to far above normal temperatures or record heat back to record cold. But those are surface temperatures, and it does not reflect the condition of the whole planet. Again, the U.S. lower 48, a little over 1% as a whole of the Earth's surface area, eastern half of the U.S. lower 48, a little over 0.5% of the Earth's surface area. That is not a snapshot of the entire world. And when we know these patents exist, we know the Chinese government is engineering these winter events. You can search Chinese scientists create artificial snowstorm. Again, you'll find Fox News and Popular Science has covered this. This is a major aspect of climate engineering that anybody who is sincerely trying to expose the climate engineering issue must address. You must address the engineered cool downs or you're not having a legitimate discussion on climate engineering. Back to Australia, that has experienced record fires, increasingly so. Now this headline for snow predicted for the start of summer. Another headline on that front. Again, these type of sensationalized headlines designed to see drought and confusion into the population as to the true state of the climate. Here's the headline. Snow flurries and forest fires as contrasting weather bears down at the start of summer. And the quote, contrasting weather, translation, climate engineered winter weather whiplash, or more accurately still, climate modification terrorism. What happened just after the completely engineered Australian snowstorm from ABC Australia? This. Wildfire fears up and down the East Coast as heat waves spread. This is just after the start of summer snowstorm, which was just after the former record heat and fires. From that report, firefighters fearing some of the blazes could join to create a mega fire. There are multiple emergency fires still burning across New South Wales, with firefighters fearing some of the blazes could join to create a mega fire. Could, may, might. Now let's consider this headline about a day or two after the headline I just covered. Multiple fires merged together to create fire the size of Sydney. No could, made, might, did. It's what happened. A number of blazes have joined together to create the so-called mega fire, which is bigger than Sydney and is burning out of control. Do we see any of this on U.S. media? Any of it at all? Nothing. Let's add this report, also from ABC Australia. Australia will face 50-degree days unless more, quote, action is taken on climate change. What does that mean? More climate engineering? Is that what their government's going to do? 50 degrees C is about 122 degrees Fahrenheit, by the way. Report states, for the third year in a row, the current prolonged drought across eastern Australia is threatening crops, with crop production forecast to drop by 20% this year. Single greatest rain disrupting factor is climate engineering. None of it disclosed here. The drought is set to continue as eastern Australia prepares for drier than average weather. That is the scheduled weather. Let's add this new report from the New York Times. Climate change is, quote, accelerating, bringing the world dangerously close to irreversible climate change. Report states this, things are getting worse. The Secretary of General stated to the World Meteorological Association, which on Tuesday had its annual State of the Global Climate Report, concluding a decade of what it called exceptional global heat. It's more urgent than ever to proceed with mitigation. What form of mitigation? The climate engineering assault that we are told is a last-ditch measure to save us, when after 70 years of climate engineering, we know that it is not a cure, but a curse even worse than the disease itself. It is nothing short of programs of global omnicide. When will these people and these organizations step up and tell the truth? When will the criminal corporate media prostitutes start to tell the truth? When there's nothing left? Consider this new report from Bloomberg and the World Meteorological Association. Global warming prediction sounds alarm for climate fight. From that report, the world's average temperature is rising faster than previously thought, headed for a gain that may triple the goal set by almost 200 countries. The findings by the World Meteorological Association suggest an increase of 3 degrees to 5 degrees Celsius, that's 5.4 Fahrenheit to 9 degrees Fahrenheit, by the end of the century. Mathematically, it is an incredibly clear equation. On the current course, the human race and likely the entire web of life will be long gone before we reach the half-century mark. That's a mathematical statistical fact at the current rate of die-off and destruction. Why are these organizations pretending that we have any chance of making it to 2100? There is no chance. Mathematically, most may not make it till 2025. If the current trends are allowed to continue. Bouncing back to the engineered winter events, back to the Northern Hemisphere, and what the climate engineers are doing, especially for the U.S. population, to mask the true severity of climate collapse, of planetary meltdown, from the population until the last possible moment. From thewatchers.org, this headline, San Francisco ties century-old record for coldest November day as North Bay freezes. Now, follow me through with some data I'm going to cover here, because there's a twist in this, that California has just been reported to be warming parts of California twice as fast as the rest of the country, yet we have headlines like this. As headlines like those I just covered continue to be pushed by power structure-controlled media sources, many will, again, double down on their denial of the unfolding planetary meltdown. And as I stated, that's exactly the reaction the climate engineers and their power structure controllers want. For most to consider that climate engineering technology and operations have long since advanced to the stage that the massive atmospheric spraying and cloud seeding operations can and are able to artificially nucleate storm moisture into ice crystals by using endothermic reacting elements, both chemical and biological. The weather makers can and are altering what should have been liquid precipitation events into frozen precipitation events or ice and snowstorms. The cold, dense layer of air that is created from the endothermic elements of cloud seeding sinks to the earth, creating a shallow layer of very cold air from a few hundred to a few thousand feet thick. The climate engineers are radically ramping up their artificial ice nucleating cloud seeding operations. The engineered winter conditions they are able to manufacture, so often over the most populated regions of countries, especially the eastern U.S., provide the fodder for needed sensationalized scripted headlines of cold, cold, cold. Such headlines are then, in turn, extremely effective, as I stated, at further fueling the division and confusion in the population regarding the true state of global climate collapse. Now, with that headline of the record cold November in California, consider this, or record cold day in the Bay Area. A new report published yesterday from the Washington Post titled 2C Beyond the Limit. In this report, the statement that portions of California are warming twice as fast as the continental U.S. is made. Again, question, why or how would portions of California warm at double the rate of the rest of the U.S.? Why would that be? Here's one primary reason. The ionosphere heater-induced domes of high pressure that the climate engineers keep parked over the state, as I have covered in so many broadcasts. This dome of high pressure has been labeled the, quote, ridiculously resilient ridge by meteorologists that don't have the courage to tell the truth about climate engineering. What does this ridge do for the climate engineers? Pushes much of the inflowing Pacific moisture up through Alaska, often creating additional warmth there. As the moisture wraps around the dome of high pressure, it flows back down into the continental U.S. The moisture is bombarded with the atmospheric seeding I mentioned a moment ago. The engineered cool downs and or engineered winter events are thus created. Flooding is often a part of the equation. To confirm the effects in Alaska that I just described that are happening year after year, consider these headlines going back to 2014. Snow is a no-show. 8 images of the roughest Iditarod snow sled race yet. No snow for the Iditarod. Here's from 2015, excuse me, no snow forces Iditarod north. Here's from 2016, there was just no snow. Climate change puts Iditarod out of action. 2017, there was just no snow. Climate change puts Iditarod future in doubt. 2018, Iditarod mushers are traveling the state in search of snow. 2019, the mush in the Iditarod may soon be melted snow. Year after year after year, do we hear anything about this when corporate media is pushing the cold, cold, cold on the U.S. population while the planet overall goes into total meltdown? Climate engineering, again, major factor in this equation. Weather whiplash is, as I stated earlier, hitting much of the U.S. Again, this time with temperatures bouncing back to far above normal in the East Coast start of the week. That's what we'll see happen. And after that, there'll be another extreme cool down. Weather whiplash bouncing back and forth from the eastern half of the U.S. to the western half, back to the eastern half. People need to activate their sense of reason and understand that these massive swings are not natural or normal. But consider this headline from mainstream media sources that tries to explain it all away. The paradox of global warming and cooler winters. This is designed to convince the U.S. population that these weather whiplash, winter weather whiplash scenarios are just somehow a natural consequence of global warming. Could not be further from the truth. In very simplistic terms, this report states this, quote, believe it or not, you can thank global warming for this cold weather, end quote from the report. What a blatant, glaring lie from academia. And consider this statement from APS Physics, a site, a group that represents physicists, quote, try to explain this to the denier. The winters are colder because the planet is heating up. There's denial enough to go around in all camps here, isn't there? There's those who deny there's anything wrong with the climate, and there's those like these groups of academicians that pretend they're the ones telling the truth when they're the ones lying about the climate engineering factor in this equation. Moving on, new from The Guardian and other sources. Scientists' theory of climate's titanic moment, the tip of a mathematical, quote, iceberg. From that report, formula for climate emergency shows if reaction time is longer than intervention time left, then we have, quote, lost control. The report states, when is an emergency really an emergency? If you're the captain of the Titanic approaching a giant iceberg with the potential to sink your ship, it becomes an emergency only when you realize you might not have enough time to steer a safe course. The report continues, knowing how long societies have to react or to pull the brake on Earth's climate, and then how long it will take for the ship to slow down is the difference between a climate emergency and a manageable problem. Report states, beyond the critical point, only some sort of adaptation option is left, such as moving the Titanic passengers onto rescue boats if available. But then the usual public pacification statements finish this report. Quote, our reaction time has to be fast and to decarbonize by 2050. How incredibly absurd. What a total mass deception. We passed the point of no return on the climate some 2 decades ago. If we can salvage any part of Earth's life support systems, it involves a complete cessation of the damage being done to the planet, starting with the cessation of climate engineering, but then following with the rest of the industrialized, militarized civilization assault on the planet. 2050 is a ludicrous statement of pacification for the populations. We will get nowhere near that far without total die-off on the current course. From phys.org and other sources, 1 degree hotter, trillions of tons of ice gone. It's not 1 degree hotter. We are likely past 3.5 degrees C hotter than pre-industrial baselines right now. From Canadian mainstream media, CBC, this recent report, Earth set to warm 3.2 C by 2100 unless efforts to cut emissions are tripled, says new UN report finding. Total reports of deception and pacification. We are swimming in a sea of lies. It is far, far worse than we have been told on countless fronts. The power structure is maneuvering by the day. They're entertaining the population with mass distraction, as I've described earlier. There is nothing of value on mainstream media sources, nothing that in any way conveys the totality and immediacy of what's unfolding around us right now. We are swimming in a sea of lies and deception. On that note, I'm almost out of time. I want to read an excerpt from a report called Could America Survive a Truth Commission by Charles Hugh Smith. The truth is no match for greed. This is the pathetic state of America. Our outrage is reserved for those telling the truth, not for the legions who lie, cheat, steal, and prevaricate to conceal the truth at all costs. The so-called gatekeepers are all corrupt and self-serving minions of the intelligence community, corporate overlords, billionaires, or the interest groups that fund their studies, departments, think tanks, and the, quote, research. The conclusions are established first and the research follows accordingly. Who has earned our trust by refusing to toe the line of an approved narrative? Who's left? Who isn't blinded by hatred, bought off by billionaires, or fearful retribution from America's disastrously corrupt and oppressive regime, rightfully fearing being fired, demoted, marginalized, demonized, disappeared from public view via being deplatformed or permanently disappeared via accident or suicide? We've been so jaded by all the lies, all the legal looting, and the rigged statistics, and yes, all the convenient accidents, that we no longer trust anyone to simply report the names and events. We now assume that everyone has an axe to grind and is likely being handsomely rewarded to sharpen the axe without appearing to do so blatantly. A nation that's no longer capable of naming names and reporting what actually happened richly deserves an economic and political collapse to match its moral collapse. A nation whose only reliable purpose and goal is to protect the powerful from consequences, no matter what the consequences of that corruption might be, is nothing but a hollow shell begging for one good kick to send it tumbling into the abyss. John Lennon said this: our society is run by insane people for insane objectives. I think we're being run by maniacs for maniacal ends, and I think I'm liable to be put away as insane for expressing that. That is what insane is about. Again, John Lennon. What happened to him? And certainly it appears he was taken out exactly in the manner I just described. What can never be taken from us? Ever. Our will. And the power to use it correctly no matter what we face. Courage is the ability to exert one's will honorably and morally in the face of risk. The courageous individual does not feel less fear than the coward. Rather, such an individual decides to take the correct and honorable action in spite of the risks. That's what makes them courageous. The hour is indeed late and the horizon is dark, but not yet carved in stone. If we have any chance of changing course, it starts with reaching a critical mass of awareness in the global population, an awareness that rises above the sea of lies, an awareness that is willing to fully face the darkest and most dangerous of truths. This is the only way forward in this most critical fight to salvage what is yet left of our planet's life support systems. Make your voice heard in the battle to sound the alarm. Check the activist suggestions link on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Share credible data from a credible source. Make every day count. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with Geoengineering Watch. www.thedaneforum.org.